Today's Shir Masechta Yuma, Daf Chavav, we will begin on Daf Chav Hei Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom, Amar Rav Rava. At the end of our previous Shir, the Gemara began a discussion, what is the order, how Kabbanis were brought on the Mizbeach. And the Gemara quoted the opinion of a number of Tanoim, which actually was not consistent with any of the opinions that we had learned in our previous, not consistent with the opinion of the Tan of our Mishnah. So the Gemara begins with a statement, Amar Rav Ben Tan of the Dan, that whether the opinion of the Tan of our Mishnah, who holds that the Yadayim and the Regal of the animal are put on the Mizbeach before the Chaza and the Geir and the Shtei Defanis, or Bein Reb Yossi, in the opinion of Reb Yossi, who holds that the Regal and Yudayim are put at the end, hold that what is the determining factor? What is the determining factor to determine what? How should we decide what's the order? They both agree, Basei Lui de Basra is leading. We follow the quality of the meat. The better quality of meat, the better quality meat is the meat that's put on the Mizbeach first. Mar, however, the Tana of our Mishnah, also Basa Eved Basar, when he decides what's considered better or worse, it depends on the size. And that's why he holds that the Yadayim and the Regal come first, because they're the largest limbs. Mar, whereas Rabbi Yosef Glili, also Basar Shum de Bistra, he follows which meat is fattier. And therefore, he holds that you should bring first the Chaz and the Gera and the Defanos, that they have more fat. Continues the Gemara. Everybody agreed that the first limb that went up were the Rosh and the Regal, Regal Yamini, the back right foot. Ask the Gemara, my Salka, my Tama Salka Regal Badi Resha. So the Gemara wants to know, why is that the Halacha? Answers the Gemara, Meshum, the Reisha Nefisha Beit Thomas, since there are many bones on the head, and it's therefore not so easy to eat, and since it's not so easy to eat, that's why the Gemara says, Karv Regal Badei, you bring along with it the Regal. The Regal has a lot of meat on it, and that compensates for bringing the Rosh, which doesn't have that much meat attached to it. The Kul Alma, and as we just said, everybody agrees that Mias Rosh Karabaresha, that the head always is brought first. Ask the Gemara Manolan, from where do we notice Halacha? The Tanya says the Gemara, Menayin L'Rosh U'Pedar. The Pedar is the layer of fat that is on top of the intestines. Shekoydim L'Kol Hevarim, that it's put on the head, it's put on the Mizbeach first. Tam Loimer, because the Pasuk says, V'nitach Oysoi L'Nesachov, V'es Roshoi, V'es Pidroi, V'Aruch HaKoyin Oysom. So since the Torah mentions Rosh and Peder before V'Aruch HaKoyin Oysom, that before, the first thing you should do is the Rosh HaPeder. The Peder, as we just said, is the layer of fat that separates in the stomach. And that's why it's called Peder. Peder is from the same word as Pared. Pared means to divide. Ask the Gemara. But there's another time that the Torah uses the word Peder. The Pasuk says, V'aruch b'nei Aaron ha-kohanim es-anochim es-anesochim es-harosh v'sapader. What do I need? L'may osa. What does that come to teach us? Answers the Gemara. L'chretanya, as we learned, Ketzer ha-yosa, when they brought the Avram to the Mizbeach, what did they do? Noisnas pedra besa shchita. There was the place where the animal's head was slit, and therefore it was quite bloody, and they didn't want to have the animal brought up to the Mizbeach that way, umaleu, and therefore they put this layer of fat on that cut. It should cover it up. And that was the way to show respect to the Mizbeach, that this place where it was cut wasn't left open. So the Rishonim ask, if we already have this pasuk to teach us that the peder should be put on the place where the head was cut. So we already have a pasuk to teach us that the peder is put on first. Why do we have to have two psukim? The pasuk that we learned on Daf Chof Hei Amud Beis that says that the peder is put together with the rosh, and this pasuk. So Tosfos Devar Maskil Noson explains that if we didn't have the first pasuk, we would think that we should just put the peder, put this layer of fat on top of the cut until you put the head of the carbon in the Mizbeach. So it shouldn't be so obvious that you have that cut. And then once you put the head on the Mizbeach, you could take the peder off. And we should maybe burn the peder together with the rest of the intestines. For as we said, the peder is the layer of fat by the intestines. That's why the Gemara has to teach us two halachas. Number one, that the peder is put on the place of the cut to ensure that that cut is not visible to all. And then besides that, the peder is put on the place of the cut to ensure that it's not visible to all. It's much less offensive. Then not only do we leave it there, and we leave it until it should be left there to be burned together with the rosh as well. Says the Mishnah Pais Shlishi, the third goyrel that was done every day was the announcement Chadosh L'Ktaris Bav Vefisu. Whoever never did Ktaris previously should do the Ktaris now. For as we learned, the person who did Ktaris was a schooler to become wealthy. So we wanted to give Kohanim, as we're going to learn, another chance to do it. That everybody should get a chance. Harvi, what was the fourth pious that was done? Chadoshim im Yishonim. Since we just announced that only Kohanim who never got a chance should do, so now we would think, now we have to say that by that pious, by the pious of the Ktiris, we're going to use only new Kohanim. Here we're not using new kahanim. Everybody could come participate. Chatosim im yishonim, mimal avarim nekevus mizbeach. Who's going to have the opportunity to bring the avarim up to the mizbeach? So here we learned that the kahanim who bring the avarim up to the mizbeach, we learned that we discussed it in our shiur. We discussed it in our previous shiur that it was divided amongst many many kahanim. We're going to discuss, maybe even it was divided even to two groups. One group that brought it up halfway on the ramp, and another group that brought it up to the Mizbeach. So I saw that the Sefer Chashukei Chemed says that this, that we're learning, that was the way that they brought it up, is relevant for question l'halach l'maisam. He discusses a situation where we know one of the kibudim, a bris, is the kibud of kvater. Kvater means who's going to bring the baby into the bris milah. And he discusses a situation where there was a couple who, Baruch Hashem, had a baby boy. And each one of the parents of this couple wanted to have the schus of being the kvater to bring the baby into the bris. And the question was, now it's getting a little complicated, who should they give the kibbutz to? So he wants to suggest that just like we find that when we brought the limbs up to the Mizbeach, we divided it amongst many Kohanim, the same could be done when it comes to Kvater. Our Gemara, as we see, compares very much bringing the bris of a baby to the Avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. So if just like by the Avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, it was divided amongst many Kohanim, here too we could divide the kibud of Kvater amongst the two set of parents to avoid any fight. So our Mishnah just said that the second pious we learned in the previous year was who's going to take it to the ramp. Now we have another pious to who's going to take the limbs up to the Mizbeach. Because it explains Tosfos Yeshanim. Because in between leaving the limbs on the ramp and taking them up to Mizbeach, they did the Ktiris. And therefore, since it was divided into two parts, that's why, according to our Mishnah, they did it with two separate pious. Furthermore, the Gvura Sari explains that they could not take the animal all the way up to the top of the Mizbeach because the Kohanim had to go say Krishma and Aseres Adibris and say the Brachas all before they did the Aktaris Emrim. And the reason they did this, explains the Gvura Sari, because we wanted that the Avoida of bringing the Avarim on the Mizbeach should be in the Skabel, should be accepted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the way they were able to assure that would be happen is by davening before it. So the Mishnah says, Chadoshin in Yishanim. So the Pashup Shan in the Gemara in the Mishnah is that since for the Ktiris, as we learned, they made an announcement that only new Kohanim, who never had the opportunity to do the Ktiris, should bring the Ktiris, should be participate in that pious. So now we say for this pious, everybody could participate. And in fact, we showed him an interesting question. So we had the third pious, as we said, is only for Kohanim who never had the opportunity to bring the Ktiris. The previous pious, the second pious, all Kohanim participated. And now the question is, in this fourth pious, if you have a Kohen that won an opportunity to do an avoid in the second pious, is he excluded from the fourth pious? He already got an opportunity today. Let somebody else have a chance. Or it's only for the third pious that we're very careful that only people who never won before should do the avoida. When it comes to the fourth pious, not only are people who didn't have an avoida today have an opportunity to join, but even people who won in the second pious have the opportunity. So the real Unil says a chiddush, that when the Mishnah says, Chadoshim Gam Yishonim, the Mishnah comes to teach us that even people who won in the second pious, so they already got an opportunity today, could re-enter into the fourth pious, and if they won, they would be able to do another avoider today. There's also Machlokes Rishonim, which we've been discussing from the beginning of the Perek. Is this Mishnah only all year round, or is this reflect even Yom Kippur? And as the Ramban, we learned, holds that this Mishnah, the Mishnayos in this parak that speak about the various pieces are even referring to Yom Kippur. Because the first pious that we learned in this parak was the Trumas Adeshen, which according to the Ramban did not need that the Kohen Gadol should do it. The Sida HaMerocha, Sida Shnei Gnei Zeitzim, which were also included in the first pious, don't require the Kohen Gadol. The second pious, which had Mimadash Mizbech HaPnimi, who's going to clean out the Mizbech HaPnimi, Mimadash Menorah, who's going to clean out the Menorah, since they're not an actual Avoida, they're only a preparation for Avoida, says the Ramban, even on Yom Kippur, they can be done by any Kohen. Then in the third pious, that they had different jobs that assisted the Kohen Gadol who's going to do the Ktiris, so that's why they did the third pious. And the fourth pious, which involves bringing, as we just learned, bringing the Avram up to the Mizbeach. So yes, the Avram of the Kabbonis that were brought on Yom Kippur have to be done strictly by the Kohen Gadol. But if there were Avram from Kabbonis from before Yom Kippur, they didn't have to do that. That the Kohen Gadol was not the person that had to do it. And since it wasn't the Kohen Gadol that had to do it, the halacha is that, according to Ramban, they did a pious, who even on Yom Kippur, who should have the opportunity to do that. But as we said, many Rishonim disagree, and many Rishonim are of the opinion that there was no pious on Yom Kippur. Everything in Yom Kippur was done strictly by Kohen Gadol. So, says the Gemara Tana, Ma'olam Le'odim Shonabo, nobody ever had the opportunity to do Ktiris twice. So the Meiri explains that even though we're learning that we never did a pious only with people who never had an opportunity to do it before, we learned that the Kohanim are divided into Mishmairis. There were 24 Mishmairis who did the Avoida, the Kohanim who did the Avoida in the Beis HaMikdash, and each Mishmar is divided into 6 Batei Av. So says the Meiri that when we do a pious, every day we limit it to the pious, we limit it to the people of the Beis Av who's assigned to do Melacha that day. And he says, if there'll be a situation where everybody of a certain Beis Av already had the opportunity to do the Ktiris, we still will only limit the pious v'riktoris to people from that base av, and not ask people from a different base av, even though they never had a chance to do riktoris, to be part of a goyrul on a day which is not their day. But says the Gemara, Ma'olam la'adam shanaba, nobody ever did it twice. My tama, why? Says the Gemara, Amrav chaninam nei shemasheris. The riktoris is what brings wealth, and we want everybody to get a separate chance. So ask the Gemara, Amalei Rapapa Labai, my Tama, what's the reason that it brings wealth? Ilayim Shem Deksiv, because the Pasuk, when it describes the Avodah of the Torah, Yisim Ketorah Ba'Pecha, the Ksiv Basrei, and afterwards it says, Baruch Hashem Cheloi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring blessing to your home. Yochi Oyla Nami, by the Oyla it says, L'Kola Amiz B'Chacha. The same Pasuk also speaks about the Kola Bernoyla. So why are we saying the Ketorah brings Parnasa and not the Karmen Oyla? Answers the Gemara, Hashchicha v'Olai Shchicha. That means, the way most Rishonim explain, both the Oyla and the Ketoris bring Parnasa. But the Oyla is something that comes all the time. And therefore, everybody's going to get a chance anyway. The Ketoris, which comes much less frequently, we have to have a pious. That's how the Tosfos Yeshanim explains the Gemara. Rashi has a different explanation. Rashi's explanation is that since the carbon oiler is a carbon that's brought so frequently, so Rashi says it doesn't make sense to assume that the carbon oiler could bring a shiris, something that doesn't happen on a regular basis, so that we could understand brings wealth. Something that happens so frequently doesn't make sense it should bring wealth. The Ritva explains that what the Gemara means to say is that truthfully, the oiler should only be used, we should only use Kohanim who never had an opportunity, even by the carbon oiler as well. But since so many Kohanim were involved in bringing the carbon oiler, so to find only Kohanim who never had the opportunity to bring the carbon oiler is difficult. So we have here a very fundamental machlokes rishonim. Does the oiler bring ashiras or not? According to Rashi, it does not. According to the Ritva and Tosfos Yeshanim, it does. And this is the Makar, as we've mentioned in previous Shiurim, that Ramah in Yerideya Simon Reis Samach Aleph, Sifyut Aleph, quotes the Maril, who quotes Rabbeinu Peretz, that the Sandik at a bris is similar to the person who brings Ketoris, and therefore, when a parent has the schus of having a baby for a Sandik, they should not use the same person for Sandik twice. Just like our Gemara taught us, we don't use the same person to bring the Ketoris first. So Naida Behuda in Mardura Kama Simpei Vav asks that it's difficult to understand what the Ramah says, that the Bris Mila is connected to the Ketoris, and why can't you give a same person to do the Ketoris first? So, where is the Makar? Where is the source that Bris Mila is connected to Ketoris? It says in the Medrash that when Avram Avinu made a Bris Mila on all the people of his household, the Avram Avinu had a large household, many people, so he piled up all the arolos, and the sun shined on them, and they got wormy. And the odor of those arolos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu considered that like Ketoris. And because HaKadosh Baruch Hu considered it like Ketoris, that's why we connect a Bris Mila to Ketoris. We've also quoted previously that the reason people sometimes have the minig to give a Rav Sadik by more than one child, because as we learned earlier in our Masechta, the Kohen Gadol Noitel Chelek Barosh, the Kohen Gadol has the right to take whatever shear he wants first, and the Rav of a city is like the Kohen Gadol. So the question that the Chasam Sofer asks is, the Gemara in Masechta Maakotin say, B'nei Chayim Ezoini Lai B'schusa Talia Milsa El B'mazla. Children, life, Mezoinis is totally in somebody's mazel. So how does our Gemara say that Ketoris makes you wealthy? So the Chasam Sofer says that the Gemara says that Schus Gadol, great schusim, have the ability to change the mazel. And a Ketoris is in that category. Another pshat that the Chasam Sofer suggests, that even if somebody is Baruch Hashem very wealthy, because obviously Baruch Hashem he has a great mazel, he wants to be able to hold on to that good mazel. What helps him be able to hold on to that good mazel? The Torah. But then the question is, we see people who are a tzaddik, and they didn't get wealthy. So he said that one pshat that the Maor Ein Ayim explains is that the biggest ashiris that a person can have is that he should be happy with what he has. Ezu Asher Hasameich Bechalkoi. The ashiris that one gets out of tzaddikos is that he is able to be happy with what he has. That's what the Maor Ein Ayim explains. The Noda Behuda says that indeed somebody who's a tzaddik should become wealthy, but sometimes he has averus, and averus really should be cause him to get punished. The tzaddikos helps that he shouldn't get punished, and that's masheris. That's pshat that it makes him wealthy. It prevents him from getting punished. Amarov says the Gemara, "Lemishkachet tzuvim ribana demayri." We don't find somebody who's a talmud chacham el the osli mishavit levi and mishavi sachar. The only from those two shvatim. So as the Ben Yoyada explains, it's not that we don't find Tamid Chachamim or Paiskim from other Shvatim. What the Gemara means to say, he says, that in all times, in all places, in all generations, we have Rabbonim from these Shvatim. But then I saw a different pshat. The Gemara calls the Talmud Chachim that we're speaking about here a Tzuvim Rabbonim. A Tzuvim Rabbonim that is an individual who's young. Yes, we have Tamid Chachamim from all Shvatim, but somebody who should have the ability to be able to pass in Shilas, even when they're young, that you only find from these two Shvatim. Another pshat, as we'll see in the Gemara, is that it's rare to find Paiskim. You could find Tamid Chachamim, but to find Paiskim, that you only find, says the Gemara, from these two Shvatim. Ask the Gemara, Ve'ema Yehuda Nami, so why these two Shvatim? Levi d'ksiv, regarding Sheva Levi, Yerim Shvatech L'Yakov, Yisacha d'ksiv, U'b'nei Yisacha Yoyda B'nei L'itim, L'das Mayas Yisrael, they knew what Klai Yisrael needed to happen. Ve'ema Yehuda Nami, so ask the Gemara, what about Sheva Yehuda? The pasuk says Yehuda mechakiki. Yehuda is the shevet that was able to enact rules. Answers the Gemara. There's a special quality of a suke shmatz alib the hilchus kamina to be able to pass in shilas correctly, and that was only by Levi and Yisachar. So the Mashah asks. The Gemara says regarding David HaMelech, who came from Shevet Yehuda, halacha k'maisoi become makayim, that the halacha is like David HaMelech in every situation. So how can we say that it doesn't come from Shevet Yehuda? So the Mashah explains that David HaMelech got this chus because he was a melech. A melech is a whole different situation. The Yavit says that David HaMelech was never really paskin shilas by himself. David HaMelech always had Mephibosheth, his Rebbe, helping him paskin the Shilas. We're speaking about people who could paskin Shilas by themselves. The Gvur Sari says that David HaMelech had in him some of Shevet Levi, because David HaMelech came also from Miriam, who was a Levi. So he's saying a Beri Bechidish, that when we speak about the Schus, it means not only your father's Shevet Tzchus, it's even your mother's Shevet Tzchus. And then the Gvur Sari suggests, he says it doesn't mean that there are only Rabbonim from Yisachar and Levi, that there can't be Rabbonim who pass Kinshailas from any other Shvatim. We're speaking about most situations. And most situations, the Rabbonim are from that Shevet, from those Shvatim. But it doesn't mean that there can't be exceptions to the rule. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, we don't make a new geirul for the avoiding the Talmud Shebein Abaye. El koyin shezocha ba b'shachris, whichever koyin was zoicha to the avoid in the morning, zocha ba arvis, automatically that got the opportunity to do the same avodah in the afternoon that they did in the evening. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, the Braisa says, Kshem Shemafaisim Shachris come and face him by their bayim. The Braisa says explicitly that they had a separate pious in the morning and a separate pious in the afternoon. Answers the Gemara, that's referring to the Ktoiris. For as we just learned, the Ktoiris was a real opportunity. But since they had, it was a real opportunity, because it masheris, it makes you wealthy. For the Ktoiris, they certainly made a separate pious in the afternoon. But for the other avoiders, he says, whoever did it in the morning did it in the afternoon. Ask the Gemara, Vatanya, but there's a Bryce that says, Shem Shem Faisim Loi, Loi is a Lashon Zohar, so it refers to the Kamatamid, because the Ktoiris is a Lashon Akeva. So just like they did a pious in the morning, Kach Mephisim Loi Ba'arvis, they did a pious in the evening. Now it's talking Loi. Loi must be the Kamatamid, because the Ktoiris, the Bryce would not have used Loi, which is Lashon Zohar. Ema, so tomorrow we have to change the wording of the Braisa, law. And it's referring to the Ktoiris, which he agrees that a separate pious in the evening. Ask the Gemara, for Tanya, but there's another Braisa that says, Kshem Faisim Shachris, the same way they did pious for the Karm Tomid in the morning, Kachm Faisim Labarvis, they did for the Karm Tomid in the evening. Kshem Faisim law, which is Lashon Akeva, which means the Ktoiris Shachris, Kachm Faisim Labarvis. So here we can't make any change of the Braisa. And we clearly see that they made a separate pious in the evening for the Karban Tamid. Answers the Gemara, Amar Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Hocha B'Shabbos Iskinen. As we've learned previously, on Shabbos, in the morning, the old Mishmer did the Avodah, and in the afternoon, the new Mishmer did the Avodah. So certainly on Shabbos, whoever did the avoid in the morning cannot be those that do the avoid in the afternoon. It was a different mishmer. So on Shabbos, everybody will agree that they're going to have a new pious in the afternoon. Hoyle mishmaris mischachis. And now says the Tosfos Yeshanim, once the Gemara has introduced this teretz, that on Shabbos everybody agrees that there was a separate pious in the morning and a separate pious in the afternoon. So now the previous questions could also be answered that way, that those brises are speaking about Shabbos, where everybody agrees there was a separate pious in the morning and a separate pious in the afternoon. Well, my salka dat mikorin, but ask the Gemara, according to the mandom that said that we do a pious both in the morning and both in the afternoon, nefishalai pious, we learned at the beginning of the perek that the pious was done four times a day. But according to this, there were more than four pious a day. Answers the Gemara, Maisa kulam etzafra also. They did the pious, everybody gathered together in the morning to do the pious. And they made a pious both for the morning avoida and for the afternoon avoida. The zochi beshachra zochi, the people who won the opportunity to do avoida in the morning won, and then there were people, the zochi be'arvi zochi, that had the opportunity to do the pious in the afternoon. We learned in our Mishnah that the fourth pious was Chadoshim, Yishanim, new and old people come to do the pious. Says the Gemara, Masnis did like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Our Mishnah is not consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The Tanan, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov teaches us Masechta Tomid on Daf Lamed Beis Amid Beis. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Hamala Evarim Lekevish, the person who was the one that took up the animal to the ramp, he is the same individual who Chayzu Malay Salam Mizbeach. He was the same individual that took those limbs up to the Mizbeach. Whereas the Tanav Am Mishnah says that it was divided into two groups. One group took it up to the ramp, and the other group took it up from the ramp to the Mizbeach. Says the Gemara, so we have here a Machloikish. Was it the same people or other people? Ask the Gemara by Maika Mifki, what is the Machloikish based on? Masav Ram Av Halos Melech. Our Mishnah holds the more people are involved, the better. And therefore, if we could divide it into two groups, one group bringing the Avram to the ramp, and another group bringing the animal from the ramp up to the Mizbeach, that is a Roivam, and that's better. Well, Masavar, whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion is, Mokum Shechina Lava Eirich Ara. It's not respectful that we should ask other people to have to do the Avoida. So it looks like the people who did the first half don't want to really do any more. It's a tirch, it's a bother to them, and we have to bring other people. And when that is the consideration, says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it's better to use the same people. Rashi explains that, according to Rabbi Elazar, it's also a different explanation. It's not respectful that these people should leave the limbs, the varim on the Mizbeach, and give it to somebody else. So therefore, it's not respectful as if you're walking away from the job. So Tosfos asks, we learned the Masechet Pesachim and Parak Avi Pesachim, that how did they do the avoid of the Korban Pesach? They had an assembly line of Kohanim who passed the blood of the Korban Pesach from one to the next. And we don't in anywhere learn that the fact that no Kohen did the entire avoda, is it considered disrespectful? So Tosfos answers, you can't compare the situation. There, the first Kohen, as we're passing it from one Kohen to the other Kohen, the first Kohen is indeed not completing the job. But even though he's not completing the job, he's still involved because he keeps on taking one pan after another pan. Here, however, they didn't take one pan after another pan. He left a varim on the Mizbeach and then walked away. That, he says, is considered disrespectful. So here we see a very interesting discussion. On one hand, there's a concept of Roiv Am Hadras Melech, that a mitzvah should be done with many people. And another hand, we have that people should do the mitzvah themselves. So I saw the Chashuk Echemed discusses a shaila that comes up very often. When you have in a shul more than one chiyuv, more than one person who needs to daven to be the shliach tzibur, to be the chazan. So is it better to have everybody one minyan, Roiv Am Hadras Melech, but that will cause a problem, who's going to be the Baal Tefillah, if both of them want to be the Baal Tefillah? Or is it better to separate into two groups and everybody will have an opportunity to be the shliach tzibur? So he goes on to say that really this question is even relevant in a different situation. He says that if a person has an opportunity to daven in a Beis HaKnesses with a very large group of people, or he has the opportunity to daven in a Beis HaMedrash, which has a much smaller group of people, where is it preferable to daven? In the Beis HaKnesses or the Beis HaMedrash? So he quotes Achroinim that want to suggest that as long as you have 3 people or 10 people, you've already fulfilled the obligation of Roiv Am Hadras Melech. So therefore, if you'll have 2 shuls, or as we're learning in our case, 2 minyanim, since each minyan obviously will have to have 10 people, even though you're not going to have such a large group, once you have 3 people or 10 people, you've fulfilled the obligation of Roiv Am Hadras Melech. But our Gemara is actually a raya against that concept. Because in our Gemara, we certainly have that many people. Yet the Tanav our Mishnah said we should bring more people. There were many people that brought, many Kohanim who brought the Avram to the ramp. And still, he holds, bring more Kohanim because of Roiv Am Hadras Melech. Even though you already had 3 people, you already had 10 people. So it seems that Roiv Am Hadras Melech is not satisfied just when you have 3 people or 10 people. Again, it's interesting, Shaila, and we could see both sides to the question. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav, Veloy Rav Elezer ben Yaakov Islay Rav Yehuda, Veloy Rav Yehuda Islay Rav Elezer Yaakov. Rav Elezer ben Yaakov holds that they did not make a separate pious, who's going to bring the animal parts up from the ram to the Mizbeach. He can't agree with Rav Yehuda that holds that they did not do a pious on the, for the avoida of the Machta for the Ketoris. Dim came, because if Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda are going to agree, then parts like paisas, there won't be enough gyrels. We began the perek that there were 4 paisas, there were 4 gyrels. According to this, there wouldn't be a need for so many gyrels. Vim meshkach is tada, the Tani Chamish. If we will find a brice or an opinion that holds that there were 4-5 paisas in the base of Mikdash, the way we're going to have to explain it is that that opinion, the like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, will not agree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rather, will hold that there was a separate pious, both for the people who brought the Avram to the ramp, and then from people bringing the animal, the pieces from the ramp, Atar Mizbeach, and also will not agree with Rabbi Yehuda that there was no pious for the Machta. Rather, will hold that there was a pious for the Machta, and like that, we have a need for 5 Gairolas. Says the Mishnah, Tamid Kar B'Tisha Kohanim. The Kar was brought from when they started to bring the Avram to the ramp, and further, you needed 9 Kohanim. Sometimes, says the Mishnah, you needed 10 Kohanim. Sometimes, Achras are 11, Shneimas are 12, Loi Pachas, never less than 9 kohanim, v'lo yoser, and never more than 12 kohanim. And the Gemara and the Mishnah explains itself. Ketzad, the carbon, the Talmud itself, Betisha, needed 9 kohanim. 5 of them brought the various avarim to the ramp. 1 more brought the kervayim, the intestines. 1 brought the soilus laminchas nesachim for the carbon tamid. 1 brought, as we learned this all in our previous year, the minchas chavitim of the kohen gadol that was brought every day, just like a carbon tamid is brought every day. And 1 brought the yayin for the nesachim tamid, for a total of 9. On Sukkos, where they had nesach hamayim, where they poured water on the mizbeach, so they needed to have 1 more kohen. Yeah, so that's 9. On Sukkos, when you needed to have 1 more kohen carrying the water to Mizbeach, b'yad echet sluchah shamayim, one of them had a bowl of water, you would have 10. Ben Abayim, every day when they brought the Karmel Tom Ben Abayim, you needed 11 kohanim, achet osor. Hu atzma b'tisha, the Karmel Tom itself, as we just explained, required 9 kohanim. V'shnayim b'yadim shnei gnizrei eitzim. Every day, they put on the Mizbeach in the afternoon, 2 separate kohanim brought 2 logs of wood. B'shachris, 1 kohen did it, but in the afternoon you had 2 separate kohanim. B'shabbos, b'achar asr, on Shabbos you needed 11 kohanim. Again, hu atzmai tisha, the carbon needed 9. B'shnayim b'yad shnei b'zichel levayna. On Shabbos they took out the bread from last week, from the shulchan, and put in the new bread. And part of the avodah was that there were 2 spoons, shnei bezichel levoina, 2 spoons of levoina on top of each one of the shulchanos that they burnt on the mizbeach. So you had to have 2 kohanim to put the 2 spoons of levoina of the lechem upon them. Shabbos v'toycha chag, Shabbos Sukkos, so you need 11 as we just learned every Shabbos. And in Sukkos you also needed to have a kohen who brings the tzlucha shamayim, so that gives you a total of 12. Amar Rabbi Abba, Vitem Rabbi Yochanan. Ein menaschem mayim b'chag. We don't pour water on the mizbeach on Sukkos. Ela tamid shachar. Only by tamid shachar. That means the avodah of nesach hamayim, which took place in Sukkos, only was done when they brought the tamid shachar. Memai, says the Gemara. What's the raya? From what we just learned in the Mishnah. Miriktani, we just learned in the Mishnah that on Shabbos Shabbatoch HaChag, B'yad Achat Tzluch HaShamayim. Now, that makes sense that you would need 12 if it's by Shabbos in the morning. Because, as we explained, you need 9, as you always need 9 by the Karmel Tamid Shel Shachar. You need 2 more Shabbos in the morning for the Shnei B'zich HaLevayna. And then you need 1 more for the Nesach HaMayim. Because says the Gemara, Isal Kedata B'Tamim Shabbayim Abayim Menaschim, that B'Tamim Shabbayim Abayim, they also did it, B'chol Nami Mishkach Slo. So then even during the week, you would need that many Kohanim, because as we learned, every day in the afternoon, you need 11 Kohanim for the Tamim Shabbayim Abayim. And if we're going to do every day of Sukkos, by the Tamim Shabbayim Abayim, Nisach HaMayim, so every day of Sukkos, you're going to need at least to have 12 Kohanim in the afternoon. Says, I'll bring you another raya that Nisach HaMayim only took place in the morning. Because the Braisa, the Masechta Sukkah, Daf Mem Ches Amabeis teaches us, the Kohen who was asked to do Nisach HaMayim, the other Kohanim would tell him, Hagbe es yadcha, lift your hands to make sure that everybody should see that you're doing Nisach HaMayim. Why? Because the Tzedoikim did not believe in Nisach HaMayim. Because the way we know the whole halacha, that on Sukkos we do Nisach HaMayim, is because the superfluous Mem Yud Mem in the parasha of the Kabbonis and Sukkos. The Tzedoikim, who as we've described, did not believe in Torah Shabbat Peh, so they didn't learn that limud. And says the Gemara, Pam Achad Nisach Agab Raglof. One time there was a Kohen who was a Tzedoiki, and because he didn't believe, as we just explained, in Nisach HaMayim, he didn't pour the water in the special bowl designated for that purpose. Rather, he poured the water on his feet. And what happened was, v'rigmul kol ha'am b'esrogeim, everybody threw their esrogeim at them. Now, when do they carry the esrogeim? Why does it have to tell us that they did it with esrogeim? To teach us that when is the Nisach HaMayim take place, The Nesach HaMayim took place in the morning. That's when everybody held their Esrig, and that's when they used their Esrig to throw at him Shema Amina. But I saw the Mefarsh, the Tosfos Yeshanim asks that the Gemara Masechet Sukkah, the Mem Aleph on the base teaches us, Anshe Yerushalayim Hanoitlim Kol Hayom Esrig Shegeim B'Yadeim, that the people of Yerushalayim, because their great love for the mitzvah of Dalaminim, would carry their Esrogim all day long. So if they carried their Esrogim all day long, how does this story that tells us it happened, that they threw their Esrogim at him, a raya that it was in the morning? It might have taken place in the afternoon. So the Tosfos Yeshanim says that it doesn't make sense that the Anshei Yerushalayim were in the Azara during the time of the Talmud Shabbat Abayim, because it wasn't a time that people gathered in the Azara to daven, and therefore it doesn't make sense that they were there, because even Mincha was davened earlier. Another pshat to answer this question is given by the Rishash. The Gemara says, "V'regmua kol ha'am." So we see it's not speaking about the Anshei Yerushalayim. Anshei Yerushalayim would not be referred to as a Om, the regular people. So it's a raya that we're talking about regular people who only carry their Esrogim in the morning. So we learned in our Mishnah that in the afternoon, when they brought the Talmud Shabbat Abayim, two Kohanim would also bring Shnei Gezira Eitzim to the Marocha. Tanya, says the Gemara of Shimon Yechai Oimer, Menayim LaTalmud Shabbat Abayim Shetan Shnei Gezira Eitzim B'Shnei Kohanim. How do we know that when they brought the Talmud Shabbat Abayim, along with the Talmud Shabbat Abayim, they also brought two Kohanim, brought Shnei Gezira Eitzim. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, V'nosnu b'nei Kohanim ha-Kohanim Eish ha-Mizbeach, V'orchu Eitzim ala Eish. Imen e'inyel Talmud Shel Shachar. The Pasuk is not referring to Talmud Shel Shachar, the Ksiv, because regarding Talmud Shel Shachar, it says, V'eish ha-Mizbeach tuka boi loisich be, V'eir alea Kohan Eitzim, ba-boike, V'orchu la ha-oilo. So we already know about the wood in the morning. Tanei inyu l'tamut shaben abayim. We're going to say that this pasuk is coming to teach us regarding tamut shaben abayim. And here it says, by the tamut shaben abayim, v'orchu eitzim, a loshen rabim, to teach us that you need to have two kahanim. Ve'emin, ask the Gemara, idi v'idi, why don't we say that both psukim are talking about the tamut shashachar? V'am rachmanim, what the Torah is telling is, avad v'chaza avad. First, bring two wood, logs of wood for the Talmud Shachar, and two times they should bring two logs of wood by the Talmud Shachar. Im Kain, says the Gemara, if the both Psukim are speaking about the Talmud Shachar, then the Torah should have used the same wording. Name a crow, beer, or buyer. The Torah should have used the same consistent wording. One place, but with the fact that we find that in one place the Torah uses the word ubir, and another place the Torah uses the word v'archu, it comes to teach us that the different kabbalas that are prepared in different way. Says the Gemara, ikas rachmana ubir, if the Torah would have said bir, have min echad in treloi. I would say that the two times that the wood is brought by the Talmud Shel Shachar, it should be brought by one kayin, kamash malon. That's why the pasuk said once in Lashon Yochid, and once in Lashon Rabbim, beer is the Lashon Yochid, Varchu the Lashon Rabbim, the Nevet Chad, that one kohen should do Shidu Shnei Gezeir Eitzrim, and then two kohenim should do it again. But how do we know it's talking about the Talmud Shabbat Abayim strictly? Answers the Gemara, Imkein Nemekra Ubier, the Torah should have said first the beer, and then Ubiaru. And we will learn that first one kohen brings the wood, and then two kohenim bring the wood. Why does the Torah, besides switching from a Lashon Yochid to a Lashon Rabbim, Inami or of Yitari could have said, V'arach V'archu. Why does the Torah switch my ubir u V'archu? Then not only does it switch from a Lashon Yochid to a Lashon Rabbim, it also switches words. Once it uses the word ubir, and once it uses the word archu, Shema Minna Kremrinan, it comes to teach us that ubir is talking about the Talmud Shachar. There, by the Talmud Shachar, one kohen brought the two logs of wood, and the pasuk of Archu is referring to the Talmud Shabbat Abayim, that there two kohanim brought the two logs of wood.